RCR with Paul Brennan.
Here's a big question. Should we pull out of the Paris Climate Change Agreement? In fact, all types of agreement that kind of saddle us to, paying out lots of money to overseas groups for what? Because, of course, New Zealand doesn't have much of an effect on the climate in the end. We signed up to it. And there's been talk recently that maybe we should pull out of it. Mark Cameron is the agriculture and other things too spokesperson for the ACT Party. He joins us now. Mark, thanks for coming on RCR. Good
morning, Paul. How are we?
I'm not too bad. Probably feel a bit better if we know what we're going to be doing with all this money that's sort of being bled off for things that might not even mean anything. How do you see this whole climate change thing? A lot of our listeners think it's a rort. What do you think?
Look, I've been called all in sundry, Paul, from a climate change denier. You name it, I've been called it for calling out what I call is a healthy degree of scepticism. I think we've all got to agree that we are a small country at the bottom of the world, and how much we influence climate per se is, for me, certainly an open question that I don't think science has ever really reconciled. So that's where I sit. You've asked and spoken about just now, Paul, about Paris. I think, you know, the real risk is we sign up to all these UN, this I guess utopic idea that we can fix the world's problems by throwing billions of dollars at climate wokery. And really and truly, as a small emitter, an infinitesimally small emitter at the bottom of the world, a couple of reflections, if we get it wrong, and we poke all this money into, which is arguably nonsense, we risk going and becoming very poor and not changing the climate trajectory. So the real question is, should we be signed up to Paris or not? And such likes, I'd maintained an open-ended question. I think the counterfactual is true. Maybe we should pull out and actually save the dear old taxpayer this burden and this difficulty.
It's more than that, though, isn't it? Because it could constrain in some way going forward the way we do food in this country, not only the way we export it and sell it, but the way we feed ourselves and the cost of it.
There is always a flow-on effect when you sign up, we sign up, the country signs up to a sort of globalist mantra. Now, they are my words. They're not certainly the party words. But I just maintain a couple of logical things, Paul. At risk of overlitting it, we're a small country. We have an emissions profile which no one's really understood. Half of it has been blamed on the room and the sector, and that's certainly one where I don't think the numbers are reconciled. And if we tie all that in a bundle and say, okay, what is our role as part of a player internationally, it is very, very limited. Now, equal to that, the other side of the equation will say, if we don't do all these things, we risk market access. Well, the reverse is also true. If we stay committed to these things and then don't meet the said standard, we're on the hook for billions and billions of dollars. So when it comes to investing in agriculture, when it comes into investing in business in New Zealand, all of that is going to be harder under a weakened economy. So I think it's a lose-lose, and I just pose the question, aren't we better off pulling out of this, getting a bit of a slap across the wrist and continue doing what we've always done in New Zealand, and that's producing the best products and food products anywhere in the world?
Who's going to slap us across the wrist, though, realistically? I mean, already you've got US heading out of it. I mean, that tells a lot of people what they need to know there. No, there's no one going to slap us over the wrist.
I tend to agree. I think, Paul, that, you know, the Europeans will jump up and down incidentally only for a short period of time, and then I think it will dissipate. As you rightly point out, the Americans aren't in this. The Chinese, gracious me, the Argentinians have just pulled out. India's not in it. All the big polluters, so say they, are not in it. And then the real question is, what do the minnows do? And I don't think we can do a great deal of anything. At risk of staying in, we might just impoverish ourselves. So I go back to cost-benefit kind of thing. That's the way I tend to think, and certainly my party does. What are the costs and what are the benefits? And if the benefits don't outweigh the costs, maybe we shouldn't be doing this sort of stuff. And now I've just got to convince some of my other team members, i.e. National and New Zealand First, that maybe this is the kind of logic that we should employ to embolden our country.
You bring up a good point. Our local politicians kind of signalling their intentions on an international stage, some would say for ego purposes, possibly. That's not a very good situation, is it? Because their loyalty is to us here first, number one, before they even start talking about, you know, pleasing others.
Paul, if I could just comment to that remark, yes, if I may. I always believe that the constituents is like a customer. They are genuinely got a handle on this stuff and generally always right. If you're not, as a politician, engaged with constituents and what they are telling you at ground level, then you are disengaged. And there are, sadly, some politicians that through hubris think they deserve to be where they are at, and that is in the beehive and or parliament, and sort of dictate from afar. I think that Wellington is not, and you know, certainly the bureaucracy in Wellington is not a broad stroke of New Zealand as a demographic. It really does pay for pollies to listen to their constituents, and if they're not, you can almost guarantee they won't be there in a matter of years or months. So I just go back to, let's see constituents, and if they're unhappy with something, maybe there's something in that.
And what do farmers tell you? Because you're a dairy farmer as well, so you are connected. What are farmers saying? What's that sector saying about this?
Well, they're irate. They're genuinely irate. Many reconcile the angst they now feel. They have invested through the electoral process a vote for a National Act, New Zealand First coalition. Many say that the minor parties in that arrangement are pulling or doing the heavy lifting. Not for me to say, but certainly the anecdotal feedback I'm getting. Now, if that is true, the question is why that they are now disgruntled with the big team in the middle. And I would argue a lot of it has come on the back of genuine disengagement with the constituency that is saying, look, why are we signed up to all this malarkey, as they say it, when we have little to no effect to, in the instance of climate change, an outcome, and at risk of impoverishing ourselves as a country. Now, incidentally, farmers are also saying, should we have not done this stuff? All the interventions that we are going to have to make, you know, investments we're going to have to make, that, and that's an unknown quality, would go away. And by virtue, we go back to basics on farm. And farmers are saying, you know, given the fact that Simon Watts and his crew have signed us up to 51% reduction by 2035, well, that's worse than James Shaw has been the tonality that is offered to me. And farmers are lamenting that National is out of touch and really should have had an ear to the ground that they have thus far not managed to achieve.
It would be fair to say that that's probably not even possible.
I would agree. I mean, I have my personal reflections as a farmer with technology that I'm exposed to thus, and there's nothing on the near horizon, Paul, that would ameliorate the emissions profile on my farm substantially without changing stock numbers. And I just make a couple of additional thoughts if I can. This is a biological function of animals being alive, right? I mean, really and truly, we're going to tax the very existence of a bovine or an animal ruminant for its normal biological function. I'm fascinated by that concept. But anyway, if we are forced into doing this stuff, the real question is that what tools do farmers that, you know, currently have? Thus, we have very little to none. And until they're commercialized and acceptable by price, I think is the point. Farmers are going to certainly balk at this. And, you know, it's not selling well. And I think National has really got to rejig its language. Otherwise, it risks losing a substantial portion of the rural vote.
Are they not listening, or are they not as connected with farmers as they used to be then?
If I may, I think their audience has shifted, or their gaze has shifted to a different audience. I think there's a propensity to fear the Auckland vote. There's this belief, Paul, that Auckland decides the election result, and that is largely true. And given the emergence of a round of new voters that are coming, that the Green Party is grooming as we speak, and there's a substantial number of those, I think, at risk of critiquing my colleagues in the National Party, they are cognizant of that, and having a broader church tend to sit in that middle row, and at risk of offending anyone, they tend to not want to do that in that kind of, you know, political construct that they have. And invariably, they speak in generics, and it doesn't kind of work some of the time. Being a smaller party, we can be a little bit more agile. And, you know, I think there's just a couple of reflections I have, Paul. Facts don't care about your feelings. And if it doesn't work on the farm, it's a bloody nonsense to keep, you know, sort of rowing the rows up and hoping that you'll get a different outcome. You won't. Hmm. And I don't think National's learnt that lesson yet.
Couple of quick other matters. The Ministry for Regulation, they've released their recommendations to reduce red tape for agricultural, horticultural products, improve approval times for critical products, etc. How's that proceeding? Because this is kind of in the same zone in a way.
Look, very well. David has Seymour has got a fantastic ministry that he's got off the ground. These people are heavily engaged in the ACVM and EPA framework. They're delving into the consentable times and regimes. I mean, a couple of thoughts. The average consent time through the EPA at last count when I was in opposition and scrutinising it was 276 days. In some instances, it was over 2 years. Mm. So removing regulatory barriers for consent will certainly help, especially the hort sector. And there are pesticides and herbicides that are used offshore and other jurisdictions that we trade with that don't go through the same onerous, you know, rings of fire and hoops and all the red tape that we seem to impose upon ourselves. So, Paul, I think that ministry is working well. They're very, very agile. It's a small group of people, but they're really scrutinising the cost benefit of some of the framework that exists and trying to get that industry as a whole to have an expedited outcome. So I see, yeah, good light on the horizon.
When it comes to the gene technology bill, I want to get a comment from you on this because, you know, we have a lot invested in the quality of our product, export product particularly. It's premium. I think yes. We can say that. And, I mean, we could go into a lot of detail, but we probably don't have the time. But there is a risk that could be undermined by any slack. Let me just use that as a minimum word, slack application of any changes or any loosening of protections against GMOs, experimentation, etc. Do you have, as it is now, do you have concerns for that?
Yes, sir, I do. I have a regarded concern. I've sort of thought about this at length. It doesn't mean that we don't have the conversation, and the conversation is certainly a wide one. It has, you know, I think we all agree, the inherent risk of being a runaway problem if we get the methodology wrong. And I think it's so important that the entire sector, and I mean the primary industry sector, is taken on the journey. Because as you rightly reflect, we're damnably good at New Zealand at having essentially GE-free products, although there are some GMO products that we import into New Zealand in terms of consumables. As farmer growers, we don't have that reality. Now, one reflection that has come to mind, a lot of the GE technology has been in the space of trying to help farmers reduce on-farm emissions profiles. I think we could have two conversations in parallel, and one would ameliorate the risk of the other. If we take the heat out of the engine about all things climate change, maybe the rush on for GE and its conversation will be a slower one, and there will be more insights into how the outcomes will affect New Zealanders. Currently, we've got two realities where politicians of all stripes and colours are saying we need to do more in terms of climate change, myself probably a bit more excluded from that. And in the other instance, we've got all these politicians saying, well, we've got now got this emergent technology called GE. Well, I just make the point, if we squared up the climate change argument and put it into a level playing field without the climate wokery and just went back to, you know, adults in the room, maybe some of this GE stuff and how quickly it was going through the House would be slowed down. We'd have better conversation about causality. And in the world of equanimity, we know, in terms of equal forces of opposite kinds, that there will be an outcome with the adoption of GE. And I think it's so important that we take the country on that journey entire, not just parts of it.
And maybe a last comment from you after what happened in the weekend in the United States in the Oval Office. Our Prime Minister has come out and said, we're here to support Ukraine. I think it's up for grabs, correct me if I'm wrong, the whole question of good guy, bad guy and all of this, and who we send money to. And, Zelensky's even questioned himself where over $70 billion might have gone. We've sent, okay, a lot less. Winston says he knows how it's been spent, but I wonder about that. Are you comfortable with us being so declaratory internationally to in supporting someone who actually might not even be around in a week?
If I may, it's usually not helpful for politicians in New Zealand to comment on jurisdictions abroad. However, we are a nation state that has helped other countries, including Ukraine, and now obviously with its military exploits and the difficulties. I mean, let's be clear, it was a sovereign nation that was invaded. So, this is, I think we all agree, bloody terrible. However, countries around the world that are partnering up to Ukraine, and we are certainly a supporter of the Ukrainian people, have every right to ask the question, is the money being spent wisely? Now, you've talked about Donald Trump. It's usually something that I wouldn't choose to reflect on. But I think the former administration, the current administration in the US is grappling with the inordinate sums of money that it has spent over there, trying to understand what a security pact would look like with Ukraine. And I think, at fear of getting that pact or that agreement wrong, if you're an American taxpayer in this moment and you've spent over $200 billion of your money in another continent, that you've got a right to ask the question, is the money being spent wisely?
With a million almost dead, it's about the lives too, right?
Yeah, exactly. And there is nearly a million people that have lost their lives. And every administration worth their salt is asking for a peaceful resolution to this. So as we sit today, I think we've got right to be concerned that we're not throwing more money into an exercise that doesn't have that kind of regard as the outcome. And that will take the negotiations on both sides. It's not for me to really comment because, as I rightly say, I'm a politician in New Zealand, and currently where we sit in New Zealand, we've got enough of our own problems, which includes a runaway debt. So I'd leave it at that.
All right, Mark Cameron, thanks for coming on RTR. Nice to hear what you're thinking about on those issues. And we'll follow them closely, and hopefully we can chat again.
Thanks, Paul. Have a great day.